Hey, you're listening to the Holistic Travel Nurse. I usually don't like to steal so much content, but I'm going to try to cut bits and pieces because I've been doing a whole section on heart health. And I feel like I've not gone over as much as I wanted to go over when it came to the heart health. I feel like when you listen to podcasts and you're really looking at information, you can go this, go there. And I feel like mine is not getting seen very much, but I want to give like a really good context when it comes to your heart health. And if you're fixing your gut, and I wanted to talk about your gut bacteria and your heart health connection. And there's a couple different doctors that did a great, great deal of study on this and talked about it. And so one interview you can link and listen, and you should be listening to Dr. Mark Hamill. He's got an amazing podcast. I listen to his podcast all the time. I love his conversations. I loved his book when it went into mercury and poisoning. Such a good book. So I'm going to take a little bit of his, just a tiny bit of this interview he did with Dr. Stan Hansel. And then I'm going to share with you a little bit from Dr. William Davis, what they both have to say when it comes to your gut bacteria and heart health. And so I hope that I can split this up a little bit where you can get some content, or you can go dive into more of the research and you're going to go, whoa, man, I should be taking a probiotic. And why probiotics are so important. And why your gut flora is healthy. And then I am going to have a hygienist on that's going to talk about your bacteria in your mouth and the and things you can be doing for your mouth, for your hygiene in your mouth, and then the connection to your heart. So I hope that you gain a lot of information from all this and that you enjoy listening to this. And I'm not trying to sell your stuff, Dr. Hamill. I literally just liked this interview. It's tying in with my whole heart section, and I don't know how to even get a hold of this Dr. Stanley to have him on my podcast, because I love that he has spent the years and years and years and years studying this heart health and gut bacteria. So hopefully you get a little bit from this.
Or be connected to heart disease or anything else if it's all in the gut. So can you just give us a 30,000 overview of what is the microbiome, what are the implications of this new science, and how you got interested in it?
So we all have literally trillions of bacteria that live in our intestines, and we call that the gut microbiome. It has to do with the fact that what we eat is actually our largest environmental exposure. It's a foreign object that we bring into our bodies.
Pounds every day.
And it's experienced through the filter of this gut microbiome. And that's because a significant portion of the calories that we ingest actually don't get absorbed and make it further down the intestines, and gut microbes, which predominantly live in the colon, the distal part of the intestines, will actually use the food as nutrients also and generate waste products that then get absorbed into our bloodstream. And what we're now finding is that many of these compounds have effects on our bodies. They play a role in control of blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes risks, obesity. It's really astounding. Over the past decade, the enormous role that gut microbes play has now become appreciated.
Yeah, so it's not like what happens in the gut stays in the gut, right?
That's true. And this also helps to explain in why two different people who both eat the same sort of diet, one may experience increased risk for or susceptibility for development of a disease like insulin resistance or diabetes, or in this case, atherosclerosis and heart attack and stroke. And it's because one individual has a different gut microbial community and therefore is making different levels of metabolites that are in their bloodstream, and that impacts our disease risk. And we have evolved, always colonized with bugs for the past millions of years.
Yeah.
And they have evolved inside of us, and it's an interplay that is absolutely essential. Some of our vitamins, like vitamin K, require gut microbes to actually make them. And you know, we evolved a need for vitamin K that can only come from bacteria.
Right.
So they're not all bad. In fact, in majority, they're necessary and good.
Yeah, it's amazing. So just to take it up a little bit, we have about 10 times as many bacterial cells in us as our own cells. And we have about 100 times as much bacterial DNA. We might have 20,000 genes. There might be 2 to 4 million genes of bugs in there. And they're all making stuff. They're all making these metabolites and proteins. They absorb. And we were on a panel recently, and you were saying that, you know, so many of our blood metabolites are not even human. They're microbial, and they all have different effects on our biology. So the question is, why, if we've evolved for years with these microbes, co-evolution, why is it that in the last 100 years we see this explosion of heart disease? Has our gut bacteria changed, and how and why?
That is an excellent question, and it's not totally figured out, but what is for certain is that our gut bacteria are changing as we have changed not only our environment in terms of how we generate food and process food, and the whole science of agriculture has changed, as well as the prevalence of antibiotics use, which is like a nuclear bomb to the gut microbial community. And every time a person takes antibiotics, the whole community or a big portion of it gets replaced, and often it doesn't come back the same way as where it was to start with. So there are differences, and what's actually interesting and exciting is that if you look not just at humans, but even at squirrels in the park in New York,
Central Park,
in Central Park, they are getting obese also.
Oh my God, I was in the park yesterday, or the other couple last week, and I was these fat squirrels. I'm like, holy cow.
Well, we on an industrial level are putting things into our food chain, and that works its way through the entire pyramid, the food pyramid. And there was a study that was reported several years ago about the obesity of squirrels in Central Park, and at least the association with gut microbe shift. But obesity has been known to be linked to alterations in microbial community as well.
Yeah, we're going to get into the whole link between your gut bacteria and obesity, which I know you focused on, which is fascinating. And it's like, how does your gut flora play a role? And even animal studies, they found they could swap out gut bacteria from a fat mouse to a thin mouse, and the thin mouse gets fat on the same amount or even less calories, right? So the whole idea that all your weight is dependent on calories in, calories out, it's kind of an old idea, basically, is what you're saying.
Well, the reason it still requires calories in, calories out, but the difference is what we now realize or think about is you don't absorb all of the calories in the food that you eat, and different people may actually have a slightly different efficiency of where their engine runs. And so it turns out that one person may absorb an extra 2% of the calories from their food compared to the other, because the different constellation of gut microbes they have may make it more efficient for them to extract energy from the same amount of food than the other individual. And while that may only be a dozen, two dozen, 50 calories a day, when you add that up over time, it really adds up. If you say 3,000 or so calories is 1 pound, 2-3% difference in energy extraction makes a huge difference over time.
So what you're saying basically is that we've done a lot of things to mess up our gut. We've eaten foods that are processed, we're not eating as much plant foods, we're having less fiber, we're taking antibiotics, we're born by C-sections, we're taking other drugs that mess up our gut, like acid blockers and anti-inflammatories, and all these things are driving this ecosystem to be out of balance. And that seems to be leading to more obesity, more disease, more chronic illness across the spectrum.
All right, so I hope that you got enough information from that and that you found that part just will spark your ears so you can listen to that whole podcast. And it's very fascinating to me. I'm going to share a little bit with Dr. William Davis now, what he says about, can you fix your broken microbiome meaning your gut flora, and the connection with the obesity in your microbe. Could you understand those little microbes in your gut could be making you fat or skinny? I mean, unbelievable. Or that it is affecting your heart health, and there is a connection with your heart health and the microbiome. And it's just extremely fascinating. We aren't talking about it. I'm going to share two little clips. There's one actually, Dr. William Davis said, can you fix that broken microbiome? And will that fixing your gut problem actually help with your heart health? I mean, it's just a touchy subject. But I really think if we go on fixing your gut, maybe we're going to do your heart some health. This is what these experts are saying. So listen to this little one and just tickle your ears with this idea. So let me just give it here ready for you. And hopefully you're thinking about, oh my gosh, I am not going to go through that drive-thru. I'm going to do this instead. Who knows? So.
Substantially changed our internal, our gut microbiome. If we compare the species composition and number of bacteria in primitive people, for instance, who live primitive lives, to modern people, they're starkly different. They have species that we don't have, we have species that they don't have, and it's almost unrecognizably different. Does that mean we should mimic their microbiome? Well, that's not clear, but I believe we're gonna have a lot of important lessons emerging from those experiences. Maybe selected species should be restored, because we are losing many species. Even in the last 60 years, the microbiome has changed. Our Lactobacillus reuteri yogurt that restores Lactobacillus reuteri is an example of an organism, a bacterial organism, that we've lost only in the past 60 years or so, with fairly extravagant effects. I think there's gonna be more lessons like that. But it's clear that the modern microbiome is essentially a disaster. And we're seeing evidence of that in such phenomena as colon cancer appearing in people in their 20s and 30s. Colon cancer is traditionally thought of as a disease of people who are in their 70s. Now it's showing up in people in their 20s and 30s. And we know that a lot of colon cancer is caused by massive disruptions of the microbiome, the gut microbiome. We're seeing people show up with spontaneous Clostridium difficile infections, enterocolitis. Traditionally, once again, people get Clostridium difficile, C. diff, we say, after a course of antibiotics. So it's a complication, typically, of a course of antibiotics. Say you take an antibiotic like, say, ciprofloxacin, and then after you finish your course of antibiotics, you start having bloody diarrhea and abdominal pain. And that can be C. diff enterocolitis. And if you don't treat it with several antibiotics, you can die from it. And it's very difficult to eradicate now. That organism is becoming more and more resistant to antibiotics. That's why there's talk of fecal transplants, that is taking the microbiome of another person, presumably healthier than you at least, and transferring it to you, and it gets rid of the C. diff in most cases. So once again, an example of the altered microbiome of modern people. The explosion of SIBO and SIFO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, small intestinal fungal overgrowth, those two conditions are exceptionally common. And by the way, they coexist in at least a third of the people. That is, if you have SIBO, you also have SIFO, and vice versa. It may be even higher. I think it's more like a half of people who have SIBO also have SIFO, and vice versa. But that's an example of massively disrupted bowel flora, because those are instances where either unhealthy bacterial species or fungal species like Candida albicans have proliferated in the colon and then ascended up into the ileum, jejunum, duodenum, and stomach, and they have a whole host of inflammatory consequences like autoimmune diseases, mental and emotional effects, IBS or irritable bowel syndrome symptoms, fibromyalgia, diverticular disease, and of course colon cancer. And the explosion of autoimmune diseases. It's not uncommon now for about 8 to 13% of people in Western countries to have one, two, or three autoimmune diseases. And a lot of that can be backtracked, if not all of it, but a lot of it can be backtracked back to changes in the microbiome, unhealthy change in the microbiome. So why has this all happened? Why do modern people have such massive disruption of the microbiome? Well, I won't pretend to have all the answers, but there's several answers emerging. And once you know what has changed your microbiome, you can start to correct each and every one of these factors in the hopes of allowing a healthier microbiome to emerge. So first of all, prescription drugs, especially stomach acid blocking drugs like H2 blockers and the so-called PPIs, the proton pump inhibitors, like Acefex and Prilosec, those drugs we know change the microbiome and encourage SIBO. Steroids allow proliferation of fungi, so that's a big cause for fungal overgrowth. We don't know a lot about the microbiome implications of most other drugs because no one's ever looked at it. But if you're on any prescription drug, think about this. Antibiotics. So antibiotics change the microbiome at least for months to years, if not for your entire life. So children get a lot of antibiotics as kids, have their microbiome changed the rest of their lives. Herbicides and pesticides in food, that can change your microbiome. GMOs, BT toxin, glyphosate containing GMOs, they alter your bowel flora, and they may alter it permanently, especially if the BT toxin gene gets inserted into some of your body's microbiome. Your body starts to express its own BT toxin, its own insecticide. Water, because we can't drink water from streams or rivers anymore because they have pesticide, herbicide runoff, sewage runoff, et cetera. We have to filter our water and then have it chlorinated or chloraminated, which is even worse because it's longer lasting. So being exposed to chlorinated, chloraminated water is an issue. Grain consumption. Grains have numerous components that change the microbiome. The amylopectin A carbohydrate, essentially a sugar, is like sugar in that it encourages fungal overgrowth, it encourages growth of unhealthy species. Gliadin, highly inflammatory. Gliadin-derived peptides, highly inflammatory. Gliadin-derived opioid peptides. You know how you take opioids for pain and it gives you constipation? Likewise, gliadin-derived opioid peptides, we know, slow the propulsive motion, we say peristalsis of the intestines, and add to constipation. And that's why many times people who go brain-free have a restoration of normal bowel movements. Wheat germ agglutinin, another very potent bowel toxin that blocks the action of the hormone cholecystokinin that allows your pancreas and gallbladder to function. When cholecystokinin is in the neighborhood, you can't have normal digestion. That changes bowel flora. Emulsifying agents, especially synthetic emulsifying agents, especially polysorbate 80 and hydroxymethyl cellulose, those two change the bowel flora because they disrupt the mucus lining. It allows inflammatory phenomena to emerge and it changes bacterial composition of your microbiome. So that's a list of some of the most offensive factors in modern life that change your microbiome. Well, how do you remedy all this? Well, if you know all those factors, you can address each and every one. Prescription drugs, try to get off them. How do you do that? Well, follow my program. We play Total Health Program, Undoctored, Wild Naked, Unwashed. Those are programs that help you get off.
So he has some programs. I'll give you the links. I think they're great. I think they're great ideas. He has you getting to a low carb, cutting the gluten out of your diet, things that I tell you to do. Has his own health coaches, which I think are very helpful. But I thought that explains, it's just one component. He talked about the medications. He talked about certain things that are going to affect your overall heart health. And when it comes to your gut microbial lining and things like that, that we are just, can, you know, just super helpful with when it comes to your health. And I'm just going to end it with just a little bit of Dr. Mercola. He has stood up for functional medicine, has massive books, websites, has been told to take down websites, has some books coming out. I'd love to have him on my podcast. I'd love to support his voice in our health. And so I'm going to share a clip of him talking about how to complete microbiotics and if they're good and you're good for your health. And I hopefully here you can end this whole conversation with that. So take a listen to what he has says about your gut.
Probiotics. You see, there's more and more studies which are recognizing the connections between your gut, your brain, and your immune system, and the value of overall regularity when deciding to take a probiotic supplement. So to determine if your probiotics are high quality, there are a number of beneficial strains that would be important to look for on the supplement facts panel. The first is Lactobacillus acidophilus. It's one of the most studied and sought after strains. And specifically, there's a strain called DDS1 that was actually discovered way back in the 1950s. Now, other important Lactobacillus strains aside from acidophilus include Plantarum, Salivaris, Rhamnosus, and Brevis. And we have bifidobacteria strains that are also important, and these would be Bifidum, Longus, and Lactis. And there's a bacteria called Streptococcus and the strain is Thermophilus, which also has many beneficial properties. Now, another important thing to be aware of when evaluating your probiotic supplement is a concept called CFU, or colony-forming units, which reflects the potency of the supplement. Now, the CFU is the count of viable bacteria, essentially a label claim that can be independently tested to ensure that
these contributors to obesity and diabetes and heart disease. That's like soda, juices, sports drinks, energy drinks, coffee, sweetened teas, all that stuff that's just a staple in America. It's about 20% of our calories. That just needs to go. I also want you to increase omega-3 fatty acids by eating cold water fish, things like wild salmon, sardines, herring, flax seeds, even seaweed, fat is actually good for your heart. Fat improves the overall quality of your cholesterol profile. It reduces your risk of heart disease by reducing the small, dangerous LDL particles and converting to light, fluffy, safe LDL particles. We also want to eliminate all hydrogenated fat or trans fat, which is found in margarine, shortening, processed oils, as well as lots of baked goods and processed foods. And instead, I want you to use healthy oils like extra virgin olive oil, cold-pressed sesame and other nut oils, avocado oil. Those are all great. And it's best to avoid or reduce alcohol, which can increase triglycerides and fatty liver and create blood sugar problems. A little bit's good, but a lot's definitely not. Of course, eat at least 8 to 10, not 5 to 9, but 8 to 10 servings of colorful fruits and vegetables every single day. These contain disease-fighting vitamins, minerals.
He still goes on and repeats a lot, so much of what I've been saying, and then in intermittent fasting when it comes to our overall health and well-being and your gut flora. If you're going to repair the gut, you're going to repair it with your diet and not just pop a probiotic. So if you take a probiotic, you got to also be feeding those good bacteria healthier foods. Remember, the junk foods actually thrive on those nastier junk foods. And so I like doing a 10-day little simple cleanse and like helping kill off the, I have some products, some things that help with help killing off the icky bad, you know, like you're going in your garden and you're pulling some of the weeds and then you're going to replant. The same thing, I'm going to give you probiotic, and there's this stuff that really does, I like, that helps with healing and getting the right microbes in your gut. But it really, really depends. Like what Dr. Mark Hamill has been saying, what Dr. William Davis is, Dr. Stanley Hazen, oh my gosh, the list, Dr. McCullough, they all tell you over and over and over again that it is the food and the quality food that you are eating. And it is expensive. So the more, I think that if you can grow your own stuff in the backyard, the raised gardens are such a great idea to do, to getting your leafy vegetables or things in. And things that grow really great and lower carb foods, if you're doing lower carbs, you know, you can grow your zucchinis, your squashes. They're so easy to grow. You can, do you know radishes actually grow really quick and they're actually really great for you? You can grow your own beets out there. You can grow so much of your own food and say, well, you live in an apartment, you can do so much in containers too. So we need to get back to growing our own vegetables. And then when it comes to your meat, I know it's so hard. I know I have used many different sources in buying good meats, because the more we become smarter shoppers and the more that we buy healthier choice foods for our family, then the overall, we're gonna have less of the crappy crap in the grocery stores. When I had the kids at home, which are teenagers, I ordered my beef and some of my meats in a box frozen. And it was the best I've ever had. The kids would tell me when they were eating meat, that was the best. And I have two that don't eat meat anymore, but that's their particular choices. And that's their lifestyle that they're living. But if you're gonna eat meat, then you need to eat clean meats, very clean meats. And if you're gonna do dairy, you wanna do the same thing with the grass-fed dairies if you can do dairy. Not everyone can do dairy. So I hope that spiked your interest in this whole one about your gut health, and you thought about, oh my gosh, all these bacteria have effect on my heart. I hope that you reach out to me today and tell me your story and your natural healing story. I hope that you pursue your own health. I hope you do the research and not just do what your doctor says, but actually go do the research. And you work on your own heart healthy diet, which is not Cheerios, people. It's not Cheerios. You know, cut the grains and see how you feel. Cut the sugar, see how you feel. And do the research yourself. Take your own health in your own hands. And I hope that this podcast helps you do that. I hope you look at these natural approaches, the herbs, the oils, all the things that I've talked about in the other episodes that you should just go explore if you're looking at the heart health and the gut connection. This is it for today. I hope that you have a blessed day.